Cyclone Fanatic Radio is on the air. Live from Bench Warmers in Ankeny, this is the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. Here is your host, Jared Stansberry, along with two brothers born from very separate mothers, Chris Williams and Brent Bloom. When I
get up with the cyclone, welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive. We're here live at Bench Warmers in Ankeny. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined, as always, by Brent Bloom and the occasional co-host,
hey,
Chris Williams.
Stop it. I'm always around. I'm always doing something.
You have to be doing something.
Well, last week we had the big pumpkin event at El Bait Shop that I had been promoting with Bruno.
How much pumpkin beer did you drink?
So Heinz came over.
Yeah.
Sean Keeler came over. We had a lot of good pumpkin beer with the folks from Elysian Brewing Company. Yeah, shout out to them. No, that was where I was at last week. And Bloom is, what are you talking about? Bloom's the one who's never here.
I'm not drinking pumpkin beer, though.
Yeah,
like Keeler.
He's got legitimate reasons.
It was legitimate work.
To hang out with two of the greater beards in the Midwest.
No, Keeler shaved.
What?
Yeah, he shaved.
I don't believe it.
Keeler doesn't have a beard anymore.
Keeler wrote a nice story today about Bo Pelini to Purdue.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, Bo Pelini beat UNI last week.
Did he really?
UNI's 2-4.
They're like 7-1 or something.
Yeah, they did. And then North Dakota State lost too.
Yeah.
This is
okay. We're leading.
I was
anyway.
Say, yeah, we're leading
basketball.
Really weird way.
I don't want to talk FCS.
Bloom,
football.
You just got back from Austin. How was your trip to Austin?
It was great.
Outside of the outcome of the
game. Yeah, the second half wasn't real enjoyable for anybody. But no, Austin is highly recommend if you can make it to Austin. Unless you have to buy a house, it's really enjoyable. It's really expensive. Everything's expensive down there.
I like the analogy that Jeff Woody made, that this game was like a vanilla ice cream cone. There was like nothing special about it. It was just like, it just happened, you know?
Yeah, it just was kind of there.
Yeah. It was a football game. That's it.
Not much to say that hasn't been said already about that effort.
Yeah, definitely.
There really is.
I don't want to talk about football.
That's why we're going to talk about basketball today.
That's what I like to hear, my brother.
So that's how we're going to have our Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale theme today. Will be basketball. Are you guys ready to get going?
Absolutely.
All right.
3 weeks away
for
the first game?
Yeah.
I think you should lead real quick with the big decision coming up tomorrow at like 4 a.m.
Oh, yeah. So
we need to let our people know. But this is a big deal.
Four-star point guard Lindell Wigginton will announce his college decision tomorrow morning on a radio show, TV show in Canada.
How are we going to cover this?
I will be awake.
Yeah.
I'll be awake.
I was going to say, because I'm not waking up for that.
Listening to the stream.
When I was your age, I would have been up for that.
I will be prepared to host a reaction podcast at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning.
On Facebook Live?
I could do Facebook Live and I'll just do a podcast for the people that aren't awake.
Oh, dude, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
So then you get up and you can just go click and Stansy's got the reaction.
There you go.
Are you just going straight, staying up the whole time, or are you going to try and nap?
I'll probably nap for a little bit.
Okay.
Just make sure that I'm in a good state of mind.
Wise move.
Yeah.
Veteran move.
But yeah, so that's it sounds like it's down to Oregon, Iowa State, and Arizona State. It sounds like might be leaning the way of the Ducks, but you never know with these recruiting things.
Earlier in the week, he was going to Oregon.
Yeah. And
Iowa State went and saw him yesterday.
They put on the full court press yesterday, it sounds like.
They could really use him, Iowa State. Obviously, anybody could use a four-star, especially with what Iowa State is losing next season. He's would be a huge, huge get if Iowa State could somehow land him.
And from everything that I've been told, it sounds like he's the kind of guy that could come in, you know, right away and be like a big-time impact player as a freshman. When's the last time that Iowa State had a guy like that?
George.
Okay, so it's got to be
George. George started as a freshman.
Monte.
Monte played later.
Monte, like.
But he was a four-star.
Yeah, George didn't start his first game until his Big 12 opener.
Correct.
That was at Fog Allen when he got teed up for taunting the crowd the first 5 minutes.
Matt Thomas actually started, I believe, his first game.
Mm-hmm. Thomas started, like, his first, like, 17
games. And then they benched.
And then he got benched.
Yeah,
that's interesting. No, he would have a large impact, Mr. Wigginton.
So that'll be at 4 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Where would he? I know Oregon's really good this year. Are they going to be?
Top five. Good.
They've
what about
got, like,
next
4 point guards on their roster. Like,
yeah, that's
for
where
next
I'm wondering,
too.
Like, if you're this young man looking at playing time.
Yeah.
Because, like, Iowa State's right, and Prohm loves guards. Mm-hmm. What is Oregon like next year, though? Do we know?
It's hard to say. They lose quite a bit.
Has anybody gotten their blue ribbon yearbook yet?
No.
What the crap?
Logic and recruiting often don't mix, though, yeah. Chris. You should know that.
This is true.
You're dealing with 17-year-olds who they think that whatever school they pick,
right,
they're starting no matter what. Not sure you're looking at people in front of you there.
And I think that Oregon just got a commitment from one guard, point guard, combo guard type guy, and now they've got another one besides Lindell
that's considering
nearing a decision, I think.
Dana Altman, man. Guy just won't go away.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, let's get this going with Battle Royale. Topic number one. Matt Thomas and Naz Mitrulong both enter this season with a chance to finish second on Iowa State's all-time three-pointers made list. Which player do you think will finish second? Just a little bit of a stat here for you. Matt needs 34 and Naz needs 37 to pass Scott Kristofferson.
So basically, who do we think will hit more threes this year?
Yeah.
Is basically what you're
asking. Well, I mean, unless
Matt's got a four-game lead.
He's got a three
lead. Or a three.
Yeah, 3-3 lead. Yeah.
I vote for – I love Matt. I love Naz. He's one of my all-time favorites. But so is Matt Thomas. And the only reason I'm going to go with Matt here is he was so good last year as a junior. He has so much positive momentum. Mm-hmm. And I think Matt could have some games early against those crappy non-conference games where he hits six or seven threes and we're all like, to really pad the stats, where Naz, it may take him a little longer because he hasn't played competitive ball in, calendar year. So I think Matt,
Cap City.
Yeah, I think Matt's going to make the most of that opportunity. He had another great offseason, and I think Matt Thomas is one of the top three-point shooters in all of college basketball this year. He's the guy.
I actually got my Ken Pomeroy on and did some math here.
What a loser. You actually studied the questions.
So if you compare the minutes played per three for both Naz in 2014-15, which is this last full year, mm-hmm. and Matt's last year, Naz made a three every 12.5 minutes played 2 years ago. Matt made a three every 14.2 minutes played last year. Assuming they both play about equal minutes, and I think that's a fair assumption, I'll therefore go with Naz shooting more, therefore making more threes.
Bloom gets the point.
Yeah, I would give the point to Bloom for that research.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't argue with that.
Yeah, I showed up at the benchwarmers.
Yeah, I still think I'm right. Questions. I still think I'm right, by the way. Like, I really do. I'm very confident in that, but you did more work for it.
But
so.
Even when Naz didn't shoot it as well in the non-conference last year, he had, I believe, a 6-3 make game against Chattanooga. He had a 5-3 make game against Iowa. So he still had some games, even if he wasn't healthy, that he basically shoots a lot of threes. And I think Matt's game's probably a little more diverse, although supposedly Naz has added a little bit to his off-the-dribble game. I just think Naz is going to shoot more threes, and therefore he's got a better chance of making more.
Before we go to topic two, where I will win, I just want to remind everybody, and this is we're just starting to promote this, a week from tonight we will be at Thunderhead over here in Ankeny for our annual Cyclone Fanatic tip-off party. With some special guests who will be in attendance. That is a week from tonight. So
Put
it on your calendar.
Your Google.
Plan for that now.
All right.
Topic number two.
All right, topic number two. Monte Morris averaged 6.9 assists per game last season to lead the Big 12. The over-under for Morris assists in 2016-17 is set at 7.5. Bloom.
Well, only.
What's the question again?
So over-under
7.5 assists.
7.5 assists.
For an average?
Yeah.
Per game. Okay.
Only six people in the nation averaged 7.5 or more assists last year. Monte, while he will still be a productive assist man, he will shoot more this year. Mm-hmm. I think less of an opportunity for assists.
That's an easy.
And it's really hard to get over 7.5 assists, so I'm going to take the easy under there. In fact, I think he'll be below 6.9. It doesn't mean he's a less of a point guard.
I don't have anything to add to that. I mean, I could sit here and fabricate an argument, but I completely agree with him. I think he shoots more this year. I think he's still very productive when it comes to dishing the basketball, but I don't think that's as much his role this year. I think they want him to score more. So I would say take the under.
Bloom gets the point.
See, but that's dumb, though, because I would have said the same thing, but he got to go first.
I don't know. You got to go first on the first question.
Yeah, and I still had the right.
Now you just have to make a Cinderella comeback.
What a nasty, nasty individual.
Here's the only thing that I would say that makes me feel a little bit better about maybe Monte's potential for some assists.
All right.
Is, you know, last year he was, a lot of the time he was getting the ball to George.
Merle Holt.
And George was a little bit more of a put the ball on the floor, kind of create it for himself type of guy.
True.
Now you've got more of these guys that are the catch and shoot.
That's a good argument.
That's true.
They're, you know, the Merle Holden catching the lobs. Daryl Bowie underneath the rim catching the lobs.
Do we believe they want to play at a faster tempo? That's been said. I'll believe it in action.
That's hard to do. I mean,
it's hard to
they're already playing as fast as anybody.
Where were they last year in tempo?
I think 11th.
11th?
Yeah.
Man, I love what Steve said in his media day press conference last week, though, about how he'd never put in the three-quarter press this early. That's what you can do when you have a bunch of experienced guards, though.
Right.
That's a luxury for a coach. And the one upgrade, the only upgrade from not having George in there, and when you're talking about Bowie and Holden, those are a couple dudes that can run the floor
right
with anybody and play a little better defense because they're not going to be so strained offensively like George was.
Well, and Babb's going to play a lot of four, by the way. So
absolutely.
He can run, too.
And we'll see about Burton. I'm still wait and see on that.
Well, the thing that I think that makes that so potentially lucrative for them is the fact that all five of those guys that they can put out on the floor at one time can play every position in the press, you know.
And then switch.
Yeah.
See, that's why Iowa State, and I love George, trust me, number one member of the fan club.
Do you own his jersey?
No. I don't buy jerseys.
Three grown men jerseys. Niang, Harrison Smith, and Warren Moon.
I could officially say with absolute confidence, you're the only person of the 6 billion people on this planet with those three jerseys owned.
Well,
pretty confident.
Proud to be it.
I don't even know where we're going.
I used to own
Moss.
Straight cash, homie, but I don't know.
No, so they can switch every position defensively,
yeah,
which makes them a lot more able in the half court to guard. Mm-hmm. And Niang, God love him, just wasn't a great defender because he was what he was. And plus, he didn't want to get in foul trouble. But they have depth now. They've got athletic guys that can switch. They should be much better in the half court.
Bloom with a 2-0 lead here in Cyclone Fanatic Battle Royale on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart.
This whole thing, the whole system is rigged against
me. We need
a
monumental Chris Williams comeback in order to keep this one going. Topic number three, the team's top three rebounders from last season have all moved on. Who do you think will lead the Cyclones in rebounds in 2016-17, Chris?
Okay, there's really only two options here in my mind. There is Deontay Burton, and there's Merle Holden. Now, if you're going to tell me, let's just throw an arbitrary number out there. They each play 25 minutes a game, okay? That's probably high.
No.
For Holden, I think.
Maybe a little high.
I don't know.
Yeah.
If you're going to tell me that they're going to play the exact same amount of time, I would say Merle Holden out-rebounds Deontay Burton. However, it sounds like, I mean, Steve Prohm is infatuated with Deontay Burton right now. Mm-hmm. It reminds me a lot of his infatuation with Abdul Nader at the end of last year. Abdul Nader came out and had a very positive performance, a very positive senior season. Steve Prohm is not an idiot. Me, I'm kind of an idiot. I would say Merle Holden, but I'm going to go with Iowa State's head coach when he told us at Media Day that Deontay Burton should average a double-double, which means double-digit rebounds. I'm sorry, I have to go with Deontay Burton, although I'm skeptical because I think Holden's going to have a huge season for Iowa State.
Bloom?
Yeah, first of all, I'm glad you pronounced Holden's name right.
Merle.
I think we're going to have to work on that with Cyclone Nation.
Yeah.
Merle.
It's like Merle Haggard.
The first time I ever heard Coach Prohm say it, I thought it was just his, like,
right, so
he's
like
kind of got that southern accent.
Yeah.
But no, that actually is his name.
No, this is a really good question.
Yeah.
I actually think one of the guards could potentially lead Iowa State in rebounding.
Which one?
Matt and Naz both rebound pretty well when they're healthy.
Matt's a great rebounder for what people think and what he actually does.
Matt averaged more rebounds per game last year than Deontay did. Granted, he played 12 more minutes a game.
I'm going off of Prohm alone.
I understand. I'll take the safe bet and take Holden. Burton was actually really productive in his minutes. I mean, he averaged 4 rebounds in about 19 minutes, which is pretty good. Holden at La Tech averaged 5 in 22. Relatively similar rebound rates. I'll go with Holden.
How
just
many
to be
shots
different,
does La Tech put up compared to Iowa State?
They had a pretty quick tempo.
Yeah, I thought they did. It's a very similar one.
So they're almost identical. I could see them both being right around 6.5, honestly. The double thing shocked me.
He's not averaging
a double.
If he gets
anywhere near 10, I will.
I mean, I will run around benchwarmers naked.
Yeah.
In the freezing cold March weather, if he averages a double double.
If Deontay Burton averages a double double, he'll be first team All Big 12.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the last Iowa State double double was like
the ceiling goes way up on the season.
Oh yeah.
If he averages a double double.
I don't think Pfizer averaged a double double. Like nobody's averaged a double double in a long time. Anyway.
How close was Royce?
He
was averaging one for a long
time.
Yeah,
I don't think he finished that way. I'll have to look that up, but I don't think he finished with 10 or more rebounds. Edgem might have been close, too, but anyway, I'll look that up.
Chris Williams gets the point.
Damn right he does.
Sad.
Topic
Nasty
number four.
Woman.
Iowa State ended last season 91st in KenPom's adjusted defense. Obviously, there's a lot of variables that go into this, but did the Cyclones finish higher or lower than that mark this season?
Like lower is better, higher is worse. Or higher
is better.
Because we had this confusion the other night. My wife told me to turn up the air conditioner.
Oh.
So I cranked it up. I'm like, uh-oh, we're all hot. And then she's like, no, up. And I went down and, you know.
Yeah.
So that's my question. Like, that's a confusing way to phrase it.
I get what you're saying. But, yeah, higher is better.
Okay.
In this situation.
This is Bloom's question?
Yeah.
Okay.
As outlined above in the previous question, Iowa State does not have George Niang or Abdul Nader.
That was my point.
Therefore.
He's using my point.
I added Abdul Nader into that, too. Therefore, by rule, they will be better. These guys should guard pretty well. They're a little smaller in the post. But anymore in college basketball, there are very few just straight-up back-to-the-basket guys. This is why size, everyone says, oh, I'm another big guy. Size in college basketball is extremely overrated. Iowa State, I think, is better. They're not going to be out of this world defensively, but I'm guessing they finished above 91.
I mean, look at all the teams that went to the Final Four last season.
Right.
They didn't have anybody that was a dominant big man.
I think this is a much easier question than you just made it out to be. They'll be a lot better. I mean, across the board, they're going to be a lot better. I think Monte struggled defensively at times last year because he was playing so many minutes. And Steve, did you listen to the podcast that I did with him on Media Day? Mm-hmm. Steve openly talked about wanting to give him more rest. That's going to improve him defensively. Matt's going to be better defensively. Let's wait and see on Naz. I'm going to take the wait and see approach on him and Deontay Burton. But Merle Holden is an upgrade defensively. Bowie is an upgrade defensively. And
Solomon Young should be able to guard.
Solomon Young should be able to guard. And Donovan Jackson, like the guy I'm kind of, Blue, maybe you can add to this. I'm trying, like, I have people asking me, like, what to expect from. I don't know. Is he Tyrus McGee? Like, I think he can shoot like that. He's got to be better than Tyrus was defensively. So,
oh, right.
I mean, he's one of the worst defenders I've ever seen at Iowa State. So my point is, like, if you look across the board, all these guys should be better off this year. That is an easy answer. They'll be close to the top 50, I think.
Chris Williams gets the point.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! Tied 2-2 heading into final question here on the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clyde. What would you define as a successful season for Iowa State basketball?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I think that second in the conference for the regular season, second in the conference would be a success. I think even third or – it just depends on what the Big 12's like. But I think, like, the goal should be to get second. I think they're better than – Texas could be good, West Virginia, you know, like – It 2-4, it's kind of a toss-up. I respect that. But the goal should be second. Overall, make it to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament is very successful. To copy Bloom from earlier, I mean, love and respect Niang. He's one of the GOATs, one of the all-time greats. However, I do think that this team, the way Steve coaches – I think he's going to be very comfortable X's and O's wise with the way these guys can play basketball. I think that this group complements him very well. I don't think you have a lot of the drama with the Hollis Cooks and the Jameel McKay that you had last year. The fact that it's year two for Prohm eliminates a lot of that. And he has more depth than he did a year ago. Now, you don't have the guy at the end of the game to just give George the ball and let him score. That's going to be a problem, and I want to see how they handle that. However, the Big 12's weaker, and there are a lot of senior guards who are really good. So there's no reason they can't go to the second weekend of the NCAA tournament. That would be a big success.
Bloom?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a that should be the consensus, is finish in the top, let's just say top four, okay?
Do you agree with me that two through four are kind of like,
yeah,
let's see what happens?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, obviously, finished sixth.
Would you throw a fifth in there?
Oh boy,
I wouldn't. I think it's one and two through four.
I think there's a separation between four and five. Although West Virginia, I didn't have West Virginia at two last year. I had them like six last year, and look at them. So there could be a surprise.
So you have it's Baylor and Oklahoma at five and six, right? And then everybody else.
I'm not as high on Texas. I think I might even put, you know, I'd go Kansas, Iowa State. I believe West Virginia is a clear three. I think you could put Baylor at four.
Really?
I think Texas.
Interesting.
They're loaded with freshmen and young guys, but they're getting the Shaka Smart bump more than anything. Those guys haven't proven much yet.
Yeah, but Shaka has.
He has, but I mean, they got bumped in the opening round last year with some good players on that team that left. So I don't know. I think people are overrating Texas a little bit.
Okay. It's interesting.
They strike me as a team that loses a couple games early in the Big 12, but then gets hot right
better
at the end.
Yeah, I mean, they got a big dude.
Yeah, they're the team that everybody writes off in, like, late December.
Yeah.
Because they have some bad losses, and then all of a sudden.
And then all of a sudden they end up as, like, a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament and end up in the Sweet 16.
If they just need a couple
like
more
that.
Shooters. Like, they're my number one of teams I would like to see in the non-conference, just to see how good those young guys are. If they're really good, they could finish second.
Yeah.
No one's challenging Kansas, I don't think. Sorry. But Baylor's good. But just for Iowa State-wise, finish in the top four, get a top five seed in the dance, and then in the tournament, it's such a crapshoot. We would never have guessed Iowa State
seed.
Would get Iona. Would have to play Iona and Little Rock to make it to the Sweet 16. That's just not sweet. Nobody. It actually favorable for Iowa State once. I don't think you can base the success of a season on what happens in the NCAA tournament. I think you're just asking yourself for a disappointment then. So top four seed in the Big 12, top four seed in the tournament, and then that's a successful season.
Bloom gets the point.
Come on.
I would love to get to the second weekend, but I think basing your
you've never lost before.
Yeah, thank you. I needed one. But basing your expectations on the NCAA tournament, it's just asking to be upset.
Yeah, but would you agree with me, though? You're right, by the way. But that's what fans do.
They do. Oh yeah, I'm not.
I mean, how many times have we referenced Iowa State basketball Sweet 16?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We don't say, oh, we finished in the top 25 or in the top X
of
the Big 12. You go by, like, that team that lost to UAB was really good, but they still lost in the first round, and that's what people remember.
Yeah. No, I know.
And we're like, oh, we beat Little Rock, and I don't even remember who else they beat last year.
Iona.
Yeah.
Because we all made a huge deal about that guy who averaged, like, 30 points a game.
Who didn't make the NBA, by the way.
Yeah. Do you see my point?
No, I get it.
Perception.
Oh,
that's what the perception is.
It is just, it's interesting. I would have a hard time being a coach if my – I was judged. Like, look at Bill Self. There's people at Kansas who want that guy. There really are. There's pockets out there who are not happy with Bill Self because he can't get to a Final Four. The guy's won 12 straight, Big 12, whatever it is. I mean, it's insane some of the expectations. These programs are based on just the tournament. In one game, anything can happen.
He's still been to, like, four Final Fours.
Yeah, I know. There's still people who don't like him.
I was going to say, I think if Iowa State went to four Final Fours,
he's only won one.
Happy for life.
He's only won one.
Chalmers, baby.
All right, we're going to make our picks when we come back with Tim Mullen from Nebraska Furniture, Martin Clive. You're listening to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Hi, this is Adam Gray with Cyclone Fanatic. When it's time to purchase or refinance your home, call Gershon Mortgage. My family and I recently used Gershon Mortgage when purchasing a new house, and I couldn't be happier with their service. Gershon's knowledge, experience, unmatched service, and low rates will make a positive difference for you as it has for over three generations. Call 515-964-5952 or visit GershonIA.com. Gershon Mortgage, 1200 Southwest Street, Suite 2C, Ankeny, Iowa. They're an equal housing lender, NMLS number 138063.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000-square-foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit. Or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs. Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand, so why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Don't let an injury keep you out of the game. Trust the McFarland orthopedic surgeons and sports medicine professionals who care for area high school and collegiate athletes. McFarland Clinic physicians Buck, Greenwald, and Warmy are board certified and fellowship trained in providing the latest surgical and rehab treatment for sports-related injuries. Call 515-239-4475 for more information.
Cyclone Fanatics, the job world is a competitive place, and at all times you need to dress for success. This is exactly why you should stop into Mr. B Clothing down at 1995 Northwest 86th Street in Clive and see my buddy Tim Sitzman. Now, Mr. B Clothing is a longtime supporter of CycloneFanatic.com, but is also unmatched when it comes to the men's clothing game in Des Moines. The Mr. B staff is friendly, fun, they're very knowledgeable, and trust me, these guys will get you looking good for that next job interview, wedding, or just your everyday wardrobe. When you stop into Mr. B Clothing, be sure to tell them thank you for supporting CycloneFanatic.com.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
This is Iowa State Athletics Director Jamie Pollard, and you're listening to Des Moines Sports Station 1460 KXNO.
Hey, welcome back to Benchwarmers up here in Ankeny. It's the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Of course, we are presented by our good friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart in Clive, where they've got that electronic price tag. That's what's great about it. You go there. I was actually there. My wife and I bought our appliances there a couple years ago. And while we were there, the electronic price tag changed, Tim.
Yeah. Would have been early morning you came in?
Yes.
Yeah.
It, like, changed to our benefit.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. The price tag's there.
It was, like, set, right when you guys had just opened.
Yep.
I reckon it was the Black Friday.
Oh, Black Friday. That changes a lot, yeah.
I mean, it is moving all over the place.
Yeah, they, you know, we peruse all those websites, keep track of 50, 60,000 SKUs, I don't know the exact number, to be honest with you, but make sure that every day you come in that we set our electronic price tags to be the lowest price in town. I mean, we guarantee it. Go check the websites. It's pretty easy to follow, but yeah. Appliance, electronics, flooring, all set by electronic price tags. Lowest price in town, guys.
Gotta love technology.
Yeah, yeah.
Say, is there just some, are you just sitting in the back office just
playing
is,
with it?
Like is it like the NASDAQ board behind you?
Yeah, you're the Wizard of Oz back there.
Yeah, now, thankfully there's people a lot smarter than me that just... They've set it up to work on automation, so I don't have to be involved with
it's
it.
Probably
was. Yeah, it's really good prices, a lot of great things going on. We got a lot of good financing offers going on right now. I've been talking about those a lot in the last few weeks, but it's, you know, it's great to use other people's money, so it's a great opportunity to come in and take advantage of it. We got Frigidaire financing going on right now for 36-month deferred interest for $9.99 or more. Genair, 48-month deferred financing on Genair, you know, for $9.99 or more. Televisions right now. Now, it's the time of year to come in and get them. 36-month deferred financing on LG, Samsung, Sony 4K televisions.
4K is like the new thing, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yep, $9.95 and up. Yeah, it's a great, great picture. It's our demos, we have the 4K on there. You can get some programming in DirecTV on 4K now. So slowly coming in more and more. But
A lot of great things coming on.
Yeah, but I remember back in the day where they're like, oh, you can't see 1080p. And like they're, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Yeah, I'm not super old, but I've been in the business long enough that I remember when everybody talked about just this HD in general or a digital picture off the analog. And it took them like 4, 5, 6 years, and we're like, no, it's coming. No, it's coming. Well, then it did, and you saw the improvement with HD. I mean, it's how can you watch anything not in HD at this point? It's I would almost turn the TV off over watching that. And now they're going to a next level. The promos that we have on our TVs and displays, the 4K is – it's unreal. It's lifelike. Like, you could reach out and touch it. It's so such a good picture.
Should we make some picks?
Yeah, let's do that.
Do you have the standings?
I talked to Gray, and he did not update them from last week.
Okay. Come on.
I think Gray. I won every game.
I had a terrible week. I know that. It was like a heinous week for me. I don't know. Let's just make this week's picks, though. I don't
know. Did you really win every game?
I think I did.
Wow, that's
goodness. I had a bad week. So
I wish I could back that up. No.
I think – I'm guessing Tim's ahead. I had the lead. I think Tim's ahead now.
I think I went 500.
All right.
We've got a hook in play in Iowa City. Wisconsin's a 3.5-point favorite over Iowa. I talked about this a lot on the show today with Ross. When I break down the matchups, I feel like Wisconsin's two scores better than Iowa. However, the fact that Vegas tabbed the line where they did tells me, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And it scares me. I will go with my gut. Iowa has a very difficult time scoring and wins in Wisconsin wins this football game by 10. But again, that point spread really scares me. I feel like this is one of those they know something I don't know type games, Tim.
Yeah. I mean, looking at the picks we have for this week, this is probably the one I thought about the most. I think this is the hardest one we have, and I kind of go back to how do you pick Iowa to beat Wisconsin by more than 3.5? They've been in some just real slobber knockers with some great teams, and they're in there and they're hanging around. And, you know, Iowa's not played a lot of great talent so far, and they've won their 4-2, but I can't take Iowa at 3.5. I'll take Wisconsin here.
Looking at this game, it reminds me of the movie Forrest Gump. Chris, have you seen that one?
I have. It's one of my all-time favorite
That's one of your five you've seen?
My wife hadn't seen it, and I went out and bought it at Walmart because I'm like, oh, my God, you got to see this movie. It's such a great movie.
Well, it's a great movie.
And she fell asleep when Jenny got into the drugs.
That's a tough part of the movie. But this Wisconsin reminds me of when Forrest went running, and then, you know, it was running well, and it was like, I'm pretty tired.
Yeah.
I'm going to go home
and
now.
I ran.
Yeah. That's where they're at right now. They've gone through just a hellish schedule.
Agree.
I think Iowa's ready for this game. I'm saying Iowa.
Really?
Wins by two touchdowns. A tire Wisconsin.
I'm a big fan of bold takes, and that's a bold take. I like
you. Can you can use that on your show.
Yeah, no,
Monday,
I will.
When I'm right.
Actually, hey, Sean Jankowski is my producer for Fanatics. Will you get Bloom's cut right there, and we're going to play it on the air tomorrow?
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay, thanks, pal. So a different audience can hear that.
That's right.
That's a bold take.
I'm going with it.
I like bold takes. The Kansas Jayhawks are hosting Oklahoma State. There's a 24-point number on this for Oklahoma State. Give me Kansas. Kansas playing better. It's a weird place to go play when there's 20 people there watching you.
It feels like there's a protest in place and they didn't let anybody in.
And Oklahoma State hasn't really been impressive in any of their wins.
Nope.
Give me the Jayhawks.
I will second that notion.
I'm actually 3 aboard here, gentlemen.
Wow.
That's all.
When's the last time we won even bet a Kansas game in two? We all agreed to take Kansas.
Well, that's probably the amount of conversation that game deserves.
I was going to say, I don't think there's much more to say.
No more analysis needed.
Right.
Oklahoma's a 14-point favorite at Texas Tech. Tim, this is the featured game of the week on Fox.
Featured game. Wow. That's how bad it is this weekend, huh? This is actually Texas Tech is one of the games I lost last week versus West Virginia. Mm-hmm. I really thought that they would put up quite a bit more offense and – actually, and last week, I don't remember. Was that at Tech?
It was.
West Virginia rolled them.
By 30.
And how do you not take Oklahoma at 14 when West Virginia just came in and did what they did? So I'll take Oklahoma here.
Here's why you take Texas Tech. Because when the sun sets in Lubbock, stuff gets weird.
Does it?
Yes.
Nothing good happens
for Oklahoma
werewolves?
Either. That was a morning game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Werewolves, stuff. Stoops on, no, just beware. Texas Tech covers.
This is funny dynamic going on right here.
All right.
Because I'm all in on Texas Tech here too. The dynamic of this is Bloom and I are both Big 12 guys.
Yeah.
You're not a, like, born and raised fanatical Big 12 guy.
Nope, I agree. Learning as I go.
Well, that doesn't mean you're, like, should take any notes because we're wrong all the time.
Correct.
But, like, my instinct is, like, a night game in Lubbock. They hate Oklahoma. Just Tech covers here.
Yeah. Weird. So, I'm telling you, it's place is weird. Here,
the issue with this, though.
I don't know how good Tech is, honestly.
I don't think they're very good either. And I think of what happened when Kansas went there.
Yeah.
And I think of what Baker Mayfield could do to that nasty, bad defense.
Really bad.
And nasty as a not good
not
nasty.
Good. Like, legit. Right.
So you know what? Like, screw it. I'm going with Tim. I just talked myself out of my own opinion. Give me
nope,
Oklahoma.
Glad to help you.
No P, Ryan.
Glad to help you.
Yeah, it doesn't no matter. They just plug
yeah,
in
just
another
Mixon,
guy.
Mixon, some other
it
guy.
It doesn't
yeah.
matter. Mixon's the same
So
player.
He'll just get 250.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you, Tim.
Yeah.
Texas is at Kansas State. This is probably one of the better games of the weekend we'll pick.
Yeah, I like this one.
Bloom, we'll let you start. You haven't picked yet.
This is a
3-point favorite for Wild Bill Snyder.
This is a vampire special, if I've ever seen one.
Every game.
No,
a
it's not.
Special.
I haven't used it yet this year.
This
really
is
haven't.
The
this,
vampire
I think
special.
This is it. This is K State gets like 300 yards of offense, but they get a defensive touchdown, they get a special teams touchdown, and they win by 10.
You watched Texas up close. They didn't impress you?
No, they impressed me very much, but this is why.
Has Kansas State put up 300 yards of total offense yet this year?
In a game, not much more.
I don't think they have.
But they find a way at home.
Yeah, not just in relationship to last week's game, but I just don't see Kansas sticking around with Texas here. I know it's on the road, but or at home for K-State, but I'll take Texas here easily.
I like Texas a lot in this game.
I'd say this might be my 2-touchdown take, like Iowa was for Bloom.
This is, like, I predicted before the year that this would be the downfall of Bill Snyder, this year would be. And I think it starts this weekend, and then next weekend when they roll into Ames, beaten and battered, and the Clones win that by double digits, then the Bill Snyder is out talk really begins, and it started last week. And it continues. So I like Texas a lot.
Yeah.
What else do we have? We've got Ole Miss at
yep.
LSU.
Yeah.
LSU's a 5.5-point favorite. This is another team I had a strong take on early in the year. Didn't like Ole Miss with all the NCAA stuff. Chad Kelly's been erratic all year. They look unfocused. I like LSU to win this game by 10 points.
Do you know if this is a day or night game?
2:30, I believe.
2:30.
No.
Yeah.
No, this is a night game.
It feels like a night game.
This is the game that like starts in that SEC slot after Bama.
Okay, all right. Give me LSU then.
I think Mississippi has potential. After they lose this game, they're going to lose this game, but they're going to lose by 3. They're going to be 3-4, and probably the best 3-4 team in college football history. Think
true.
About it. I mean, the people they've lost to, they've been close and everything. They're not quite good.
Does Kelly look erratic to you?
He does. He's still extremely talented.
Oh, no question.
He's still, and he actually
he's a gunslinger.
He is. Yeah, he is. He's like Brett Favre in college football. I don't think it's a good comparison, but they keep it. LSU's offense isn't good enough to just blow them out. I think it's a three. I think it's a field goal game.
You ever see a 1-6 game where the
no,
six is a 18.5-point underdog? It's up to 19 now.
This is a game, I think this is the Alabama wins game, but they come back down to earth a little bit. Because when you start talking about being favored by 19 or 20 at home against a top 10 team, I mean, cool the Jets just a bit. They still win the game.
Yeah, I'm with you. I would feel very uncomfortable laying 18.5 points against Trevor Knight and that the way the Aggies are playing right now. Tim, where are you?
I actually I looked at this game. It's a tough game to me because, honestly, C-Dub, I hear you in my head going, there's a reason it's at 18.5. You know, and I was hardcore in Alabama last week, and they did not let me down. That game was out of contention soon, quick, and done and over. And it's tough for me. I'll be honest. I came in saying A&M, and I'm going to roll Alabama here. I think A&M's the one that comes back down to earth. And at home, Alabama has a point to prove. And
Bama has screwed me so many times this year.
Yeah. I don't feel good about it either way, but I'm just 18.5. Give me a 21-point game here.
TCU is at West Virginia, 6.5 points. I wish that was seven. If that was seven, I'd be very comfortable taking TCU, even though it's in Morgantown. This is a really hard game to pick. It's the hook. I'll take West Virginia because of the hook. TCU hasn't been that impressive. Still don't quite know about West Virginia, although they were very impressive last week.
I will. TCU got a bye week to prepare.
Gary Patterson over Dana Holgorsen. I hear you.
Yeah, and then West Virginia's just they're waiting for a shoe to drop. They're
not.
They're undefeated, but I don't know.
They should have lost a couple games already.
Agreed.
For BYU,
I believe this is close. I wish they had an extra point there, Chris. I'm with you, but
if that was 7.5, it'd be an easy pick for me. Seven, I'll probably take West Virginia.
I'll just take TCU.
So I'm actually kind of going against you here, Bloom, at the point that I've actually bet against West Virginia, I think, every week. Anytime they've been on here, I haven't thought they were good enough to win, and maybe they are that good. I mean, maybe they're really good enough to take TCU and, you know, easily cover 6.5. And, you know, when you play roulette and bet on black 32 times, and it's got to wind up red one time, but I'm going to go again with West Virginia here.
That's a fine analogy. Final game of the week.
Yeah.
We head back to the SEC. Coach Paul Rhodes and the Arkansas Razorbacks. Get a Paul Rhodes pizza here at Benchwarmers, by the way. They're at Auburn. Malzahn kind of feels like Gus Malzahn's figuring things out. Arkansas got the nice win. Who'd they beat last week? They beat
Mississippi
last week.
Yeah.
I don't know. Give me the 10 points. I'll take the 10 points, and I think Auburn wins, but 10 points is a lot with two good teams.
Agreed.
Couldn't agree more, gentlemen. It's pretty easy on that one to me. I don't know how Auburn's possibly favored by 10. I think they could win at home late, but 10 points too much.
I don't trust their quarterback, and maybe Malzahn's not as good as we once thought he was. I don't know.
They're giving a lot of advantage for being home. I think in that game at Arkansas, Arkansas's favored.
Yeah.
Kind of weird.
Yeah, but you figure with a 3-point swing for being at home. So
you know, you guys now know that Auburn's winning that game by 14.
Oh, yeah.
More than likely. So which two do we completely agree on?
Kansas is losing by 45.
Yeah.
Lock it up.
Gundy is running up the score in Lawrence on Saturday. Iowa State has a bye week. We should go down to Lawrence and watch
just
some Big 12 football.
They might let
just
you in
throw
for free.
A match on it.
Jeez.
Just throw a match on
oh,
it.
Oh, by the way, we are doing a bus trip to Lawrence, by the way. Cyclone Fanatic is $100.
For the entire trip?
That's the whole trip, and you get to drink on the bus. You get to watch DirecTV on the way.
With Wi-Fi. And there's
pizza,
right? Yeah,
you get Wi-Fi, and there's food down there. There's pizza down there. It's a ridiculous deal. So you can sign up today at CycloneFanatic.com. Do you want me to go to that game?
I mean,
it's not
a bad place to watch a game. There's just nobody there.
Well, you could sit anywhere you want. Right?
Jared's going to go.
Yeah.
Tim, thanks for your time tonight.
Hey, always a pleasure.
We love Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive.
We're closing in on Christmas, too, right?
It's getting close.
I mean, you can go buy a gift right now.
Yeah.
Can you buy your wife a dishwasher?
Buy a gift.
Absolutely. I think so. Especially if the old one's running down.
That's a terrible idea for a gift.
Yeah, it's not very personal. I'll give you that. But
everybody needs a dishwasher.
If my wife got me a dishwasher... Beep some bad news.
Well, what if the one you have now is broken? You got to wash them by hand every night. Wouldn't that make you happy?
Yeah.
Yes.
48 month deferred financing?
Yeah. There's lots of good stuff out there. Plus, come in.
You talk like you hear about this stuff a lot.
Yeah. Plus, come in. Yeah. Like he has an inside track. Come in and, at a minimum, enter to win the LG 65 inch. I mean, we're doing that with the picks here, too.
Absolutely.
But the enter to win box is right up front. And plus, come in and talk to our folks about cabinets. We're still pushing that hard and heavy.
Yeah.
5% off your entire order when you mention Cyclone Fanatics. A lot of good things going on at the Mart. So.
Bada boom.
Yeah.
All right. He's Tim.
Thanks, guys.
See you next week.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you.
Glenn Waterhouse is here. We're going to shift the gears, talk a little Cyclone football. And we'll do that next here on 1460 KXNO.
Admit it. You judge a sports bar on three key criteria: TVs, food, and wings. Consider this our entry into the category for best wings. Ken from Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill here. Our wings are flame broiled to sear in that juicy flavor. Generously lathered in our signature homemade sauces. Barbecue?
Sure.
Buffalo?
Of course.
But how about garlic jalapeno, sweet bourbon, or Caribbean jerk? To go along with 11 other originals you'll only find at Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill.
You've just been hungerstruck.
Thunderhead Sports Bar and Grill, Ankeny.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here, wanting to tell you about my friends at Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. Now, as you all have come to expect over the years, Nebraska Furniture Mart is known for their great prices, awesome leadership, impressive selection when it comes to, you know, appliances, electronics, flooring, window treatments, of course, countertops as well. Well, now they've taken it a step further, offering the whole home solution, and they've got a full line of custom cabinetry. Come out to their store in Clyde. Meet the design sales staff to get you that new updated kitchen that you've been looking for. The staff will help you through the entire project from flooring to the cabinets. Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive, your kitchen and bath remodel headquarters. Hey guys, Chris Williams here. When I'm out and about covering the Cyclones, I often get asked about the sweet gear that we have at Cyclone Fanatic. People want to buy it. And let me tell you where we get that gear. Wheeze Tees. Yeah. Anytime I'm looking to get any of our Cyclone Fanatic gear embroidered, a new hat, anything like that, we give them a call. They hook us up. Shirts, jackets, koozies, signs. Wheeze Tees can do it all. Cyclone Fanatic has been using Wheeze Tees for years now. There's nobody else I would trust with our brand. So why wouldn't you? Give them a call at 515-257-7191 or stop by at 306 South Ankeny Boulevard.
Visit Phillips Floors at their huge new 10,000 square foot Ankeny showroom located at 6263 Northeast Industry Drive, just a couple of minutes west of I-35 on the Corporate Woods exit, or just a few minutes north of I-80 on the Northeast 14th Street exit, or visit us on the web at www.phillipsfloors.com. Phillips Floors, we stand behind what you stand on.
Every growing season presents new challenges. That's why AgriGold has developed one of the most diverse genetic lineups in the industry. We categorize our hybrids into families, each with its own genetic characteristics and environmental tolerances. This gives AgriGold farmers a simple way to diversify their genetics and manage risk, ensuring they'll be rewarded come harvest no matter what the season throws at them. When it comes to higher yields, no one knows corn like we do. For more information, visit AgriGold.com. At AgriGold, we know corn.
Your home for Iowa State women's basketball is right here. This is head coach Bill Fenley on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
Welcome back to the Cyclone Fanatic Radio Show. Of course, we're presented by Nebraska Furniture Mart and Clive. You can always find us on Thursdays at 6 right here on 1460 KXNO, live from Benchwarmers in Ankeny. Every Thursday, you can always find the Sports Docs Weekly Blitz column at CycloneFanatic.com, where we head up north to Ames to the McFarland Clinic and talk to the doctors who work on the Cyclones. This week we've got Dr. Buck on the line with us, who he gave us a muscle quiz today, and I did terrible on it, Doc. Welcome to the program. I mean, your quiz today, like, it proved to me how stupid I am and how smart you guys really are. I was way off.
Well, that doesn't mean that. It's just that there may be a lot of misconceptions. And it's something we talk about every week about, you know, people getting strong and rehab and building muscles and this and that. And so I just thought it was time to kind of get back to the basics, basic muscle principles.
No, it was very informative. I encourage people to go and read it. It's in our featured spot right now. So go and check that out. Hey, okay, so I have a question for you, Doc. I don't think this is, like, right in your wheelhouse, but so we were talking about this on Sports Fanatics yesterday. So when I sneeze, okay, hear me out. When I sneeze, like, a shooting pain goes down my left arm. Does that mean I'm having a heart attack, or what is that? Do you know anything about that? Because my co-host Ross was trying to explain to me that I'm, like, going to die or something, and I'm like, no, it goes right away. It doesn't. Like, I don't have any other bad symptoms. Do I need to go to a doctor?
Well, I don't know, but it's unlikely that has anything to do with your heart.
Okay, that's good to know.
More than likely, you've got just a little irritated nerve coming out of your neck, and, you know, really minimal. You don't even know it's there, but you got a little issue going on. And then you sneeze. Of course, when you sneeze, it's a pretty violent act for your body.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure, a lot of, you know, it's amazing how much, you know, your pressure inside your abdomen, you know, quadruples and put pressure on your low back and your neck and, you know, your diaphragm and all those things. So I think it's just a jolt to your neck area, probably irritating ever so slightly a nerve. And if it goes away quickly, then I think you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, so I'm not having a heart attack at the age of 32.
Right. I mean, if every time you exerted yourself early morning, you felt that jolt of pain going down your arm, that would be a problem.
But you just made my night.
Not so concerned.
All right, you just made my night, Doc. I can relax now. Thank you.
Yeah, I think you're fine.
I have a major anxiety problem too. So when he told me that I was probably having a heart attack, like I kind of freaked out. So it's good to talk to a doctor like you to calm me down. You,
I mean, yeah, I don't know if I'm getting the whole story, but based on what you tell me, I don't think you have to worry about
it. No, that's what it is. When I sneeze, pain shoots down my left arm. That's all it is. Doc, you are the man. You tell Dr. Wormy and Greenwald I said hello, and we'll talk to you guys next week, all right?
Yeah, we got an off week. The guy's going to take it easy this weekend, and I'll pass that on.
All right, sounds good. Head up to the McFarland Clinic, everybody. Dr. Buck here on the line. Go take his quiz. Jared, did you take the quiz today?
I can't believe you just asked him about that.
Okay, what did you say?
I can't believe you just asked him about the sneeze thing.
Well, I mean, I had a doctor on the line. Why wouldn't I ask about it?
Did you really think you were going to die?
No, but Ross told me I might. He's like, man.
Ross is not a trained medical professional. I don't know.
That's why
that.
I asked Dr. Buck from the McFarland Clinic.
Oh, man.
I didn't want to take Ross's word for it.
It's not Ross Peterson, MD.
No, it is not. Glenn Waterhouse may as well be a doctor of football and insurance. Specifically, do you have your life insurance yet, Jared?
I do not.
Jeez. Glenn Waterhouse from State Farm Insurance here. GlennWaterhouse.com. Convinced? How old are you, 22?
I'm 22, yeah.
Why does a 22-year-old guy who doesn't have a family need life insurance? This is really...
I don't have any assets either, so
That's why you need life insurance.
Well, hey, speaking of Doc, so my nickname as a kid was Doc.
Oh, yeah? Doc Waterhouse.
I'll just tell you, Doctor of Insurance here. But, hey, the reason why young people, a lot of guys don't think they need insurance when they're young, they're invincible. But you just never know when your health could change or things come up or get diabetes, cancer, whatever. So, you know, and if something ever happens, you don't want to leave your parents,
yeah,
your family.
So Jared's being selfish, basically saying, if I die, screw mom and dad.
Yeah.
They can just pay for my funeral.
Exactly.
You know how selfish that is?
Hey, Jared, we could get you hooked up for like 15, 20 bucks a month.
That's why you
like
do
one
it.
Or two less beers at college.
That's why you do it now, because I did this when I was your age. And if you wait until you, like, it's 15 bucks, let's just say, an arbitrary number.
Just something small, yeah.
But if you're 32 and you've had stuff happen to you,
right,
then it's like, five times as much.
Right. Yeah, that's the big thing for people to understand is it's not always a guarantee, you know. And I've had some good friends have got sick or got cancer or family members. So you want to lock that stuff up in, you know, while you're young and healthy.
Or you start sneezing and have arm pains.
Yeah.
Glenn, I might be in your office first thing tomorrow morning.
Let's do it.
Glenn, disappointing weekend for the Cyclones.
It was. I kind of felt it was coming. You know, we've had so many highs.
You did. You told me that after Oklahoma State, yeah.
You know, there's only so many highs you can have when you're so close, and I was worried that we'd run into a buzzsaw.
The bye week, I think, comes at a good time, though, Jared. I mean, especially when I think we've learned a couple things. Trevor Ryan's insanely valuable.
Yeah.
And that offensive line, as much better as it has gotten, you can't. There's certain things you just can't scheme around, and there's certain things that effort doesn't. And they just got annihilated up front against Texas.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, the good thing for Iowa State is, when's the last time that they had a bye week at this time of the season?
Yeah,
you know, it seems like it's always that it's like one game, two games at the very beginning, then they get their bye week, and then maybe they'll have one at the very end. But instead of it being play half your schedule bye week, now we've got the, you know, quote unquote easy part of our schedule coming up. We've got some winnable games coming up. You get this week to get yourself rested, kind of, you know, work on us for 1 week rather than having to work to prepare for an opponent. And then you've got four out of five games that I'd say are winnable down the stretch.
Glenn, do you have an opinion on the current situation at quarterback? Are you ready for it to be a one quarterback system?
Well, I kind of am, you know.
I figured because you're old school. I kind of figured that you may be like.
Yeah, I like the gunslinger at Park, but you know, I like their toughness of Lanning brings, and I feel like he's the captain. And you know, you break the season down. Listen, they probably know they're not going to a bowl game at this point, so I think the coaches, you're coming off a bye week here. We're in our second season. They got to just start this whole thing fresh. The guys are going to kind of. This is a week to kind of chill out a little bit. The coaches are probably out recruiting a little bit. They're just trying to get through, get healthy. So you come back, it's like, hey, let's win the second half of the season. Let's try to finish this season with a lot of positives. We want the seniors to go out with a bang. We got some great winnable games. And I think you kind of just have to have one guy in charge there, unless somebody gets hurt. So I think we've seen, you know, maybe I don't see a huge difference between the two guys sometimes, but I'd like to see Joel Lanning take the team and see what happens second half of the season.
I'm not a, like, oh, bench Park and don't play him at all type guy, but I don't know. The conception is that he's more accurate than Joel Lanning, and when the run game isn't working because your line stinks, that you need to go to the short passing game to be able to run the football. Lanning's completing a higher percentage of pass right now. He's at 56%, which isn't very good. Park is at 52. So, to me, like, if Park's not up above 60%, Joel can throw the long ball too.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it's like, about who's better. I think who's the better leader. Who's going to be the guy that in the trenches is going to be looking at those guys and say, guys, let's win this. Let's
right now, that's Joel Lanning.
And that, yeah, so that it's more of who can be that leadership to me.
You're thinking like a coach. I like it.
Yeah, well, that you want to have a leader. And the guy doesn't – he shouldn't have all the pressure. He got weapons around it. It shouldn't be the Joel Lanning only. He's got a lot of good weapons out there. Our offensive line can play just a little bit better. We've seen great signs, Chris. It's just a matter of putting some things together. They got to figure out that they can win. And they got to believe that. And somebody, it's got to start with somebody. I think Joel Lanning's the guy to spark that.
You're an old linebacker. I tweeted this during the game. I don't know how or why, like, JUCO linebackers aren't lining up to play at Iowa State. There is immediate playing time available. Jared, is there anything in the pipeline? Because
that's actually one of the few positions where you don't see much action.
My God.
They're out there really hard on the recruiting trail. I actually talked to a junior college offensive lineman today.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't heard any. I mean, linebackers is you.
Well, that's,
they're not out there on, hard on the trail with them, really, it seems like. They've only got a couple that I think they really even have targeted that they would.
Is that because of the 4-2-5? They just, like, they're going to focus more on.
I think as much as anything, they feel good about some of these guys that they have in the program. They might not be there right now, but the Willie Harveys, the Reagan Northrups, the Tymar Suttons. You know, going into next year.
If Sutton wouldn't have broken his hand, he would have played.
Yeah, that's three linebackers. They only have two.
When you're playing 4-2, though, the old 4-3, the 5-2, you know, those are requiring bigger, stronger, you know, fill the gap. That 4-2 defense is more about flying around, getting to the outside. Those front four are going to fill the inside gap. So, you know, when you run a 4-2, they're probably looking not the kind of linebacker that I like to see.
Yeah, you like the Jake, not AJ Klein.
Yeah, I do.
Mold.
I like
that's your guy.
Bigger dudes than I ever was that are badder guys than I ever was, you know, but they like to hit.
Don't get me wrong, I would take Klein and not right now.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
There were a couple plays in that, and the defense played really well.
Right. Yeah.
For the most part, but I was like, geez.
But we have to have an upgrade moving this program forward at linebacker. That's for sure.
Yeah, it's the weakest part of the defense.
I still think those guys are going to be better. You have to remember that Willie Harvey and Reagan Northrup are both only sophomores.
I know.
There's
no
years there for them to grow, you know.
You're right. I mean, there's no denying that. I just.
I understand your frustration.
Do you understand, though, like, I'm just tired of hearing, oh, these guys are going to develop.
Yeah.
And Matt Campbell has nothing to do with that. Like, I get it. They can.
We just got to keep making excuses and hoping and start believing.
That's where I'm at. Like, I'm at the point, and I think that if Matt Campbell were listening to this program, I think he wants Iowa State fans to be like this, to be where you just start – you quit saying wait till next year, and why not this year? You know,
I love that he says there's no moral victories.
Yeah.
I love that about that, you know. So he gets it. No, I don't want to hear about we were close. I'm tired of that stuff.
I
want to win.
Glenn, we are on the same page today.
I love it.
We're on the same page today. Thanks, man. And it looks like you just sold some life
insurance. I know. What time you coming in tomorrow?
I don't usually wake up before it. Well, I've got to be up to.
Jared has. What time is your alarm set?
I've got to be up to wake and to recover a kid's college announcement at 4 o'clock this morning.
I'm going to just tell you what my coach John Favre told me. I was at Iowa State. Don't tell me about the storm at sea. Just get the ship in. So, get in here. You know, come on in tomorrow morning. You know where we're located, out on 86th Street in Johnson.
There you go. Thanks, Glenn.
All right, go Cyclones.
Good to see you, buddy. Glenn Waterhouse from State Farm Insurance. Look, maybe I get commissioned on that one. Just sold him some insurance to Jared Stansbury here. No, you really do need it.
I know.
Okay, so Wigginton, give me your crystal ball.
I think he's going to end up in Oregon.
I've thought that all along.
Yeah, but I will say that there are winds blowing behind the scenes that he could end up at Iowa State.
Yeah,
We'll see. We'll see. 4 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'll be ready.
All I know is I feel bad for Dana Altman and Steve Prohm because it's like, how are they going to sleep tonight, you know?
Right.
Jiminy Christmas.
Especially since it's going to be 2 o'clock in the morning in Oregon.
Well, that has to help Iowa State if he's...
I would think so.
My gosh. All right, well, Jared's going to be up all night covering that for us. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to Benchwarmers, Nebraska Furniture Mart, and Clive. So long.